to today's podcast that is part one of a series covering how to drive effective change in organizations. APQC is the world's foremost authority in benchmarking, best practices, process and performance improvement, and knowledge management. With more than 1,000 member organizations worldwide, APQC provides the information, data, and insights organizations need to support decision-making and develop internal skills. This is Madison Lundquist, Principal Research Lead for Process and Performance Management here at APQC. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to APQC podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Part one of this change management series will cover who guides organizations through change and how to prevent change saturation or change fatigue. I'm excited to be joined by APQC's very own Linda Broxick, our Knowledge Management Principal Research Lead, as well as one of our resident change management subject matter experts. Welcome.
Hi, I'm happy to be here, Maddie. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So for everyone listening, you're a little bit newer to APQC. So give us a quick, maybe 1 to 2 minutes, high level view of your past roles and how you've been connected into the change management space.
Okay, sure. So I got engaged with change management probably with one of my earliest roles in knowledge management and process improvement, ironically, like both together. So a lot of lean principles are based around the focus on people first, right? As you're developing new processes and helping people move from a current to a future state. So I got introduced to the concept of change and people change management early on. And working in knowledge management and learning and development and leading teams over the last 20 plus years, the idea of thinking about people first and bringing change management into, I'll say knowledge management, but also anything that you do. So any project, any program, any team that you're leading, change management principles became the foundation and the heart of everything that I did personally and professionally, I will say both.
Nice. We were just on our process frameworks roundtable yesterday and talking about implementing a framework, and the biggest challenge is change. People
Absolutely.
Don't want to change.
Absolutely.
So it's everywhere. Change is everywhere. All right. So let's jump in. The first topic today we want to discuss is forming a change management team. So what are some change management capabilities you would consider critical to an organization's success?
That's a big question because when I think about capabilities, I think about it in a couple of different ways. I think about it in terms of roles associated with change. Think about it in terms of skill sets. And then there's always the question of, is it someone's full-time job or is it part of the role that we do currently? And I think the answer is that it can be any of those things, right? So I have seen change management principles embedded in a lot of different roles, process improvement, knowledge management roles, project management roles, leadership, all of those things. But if you have an actual change management team, it's a discipline. Change management is a discipline in and of itself. You can become certified in it. There's a lot of training that exists. And in some organizations, there are CMOs or what they call change management offices, kind of like a project management office. And I saw teams, I would say, originally start mostly in the IT world.
Okay.
A lot of CMOs or change management offices started because they were supporting technology implementations. And that's where a lot of it began, and they started to build some of their capabilities. There's positives and negatives with that approach, obviously, but it has morphed over time to become something that's part of project management offices sometimes. There are roles that are embedded in business functions where they'll say, we need a change manager for this division, this function, this team. And then there's centralized versions of it where maybe you have a centralized program management office. People can have a centralized change management office as well that are focused on some of your highest priority initiatives. So the capabilities are, it is a discipline, and I think we need to recognize that it is a discipline in and of itself. And then the skill sets that are associated with that are also really important just with the fields we work in, knowledge and process. Yeah. There are certain attributes of a process engineer or certain attributes of a knowledge management leader or knowledge manager that we look for. Same is true for change. Right. Yep. And we could go into all the skills associated with change managers as well, if you want to, but just thinking about those potential skill sets that go along with the change manager, it's not always the same as a process or a project or an engineer or whatever role you're talking about. So it's a very I like to think about the fact that if you don't think about change as a role in and of itself and you make it everyone's job, it becomes no one's job. So you really have to be intentional about thinking about it, whether it's a team or a function within a team, it's still got to be an intentional focus on a specific change management role. Mm-hmm. So that answered your question.
Yes, it did. So we'll get into a little bit about communication methods and training employees on change and a little bit further down in the podcast, but what do you think maybe is one of the most important things to consider between communication, empathy, coaching, or any of those like top of mind all the time when thinking about change?
Yes, absolutely. When I think about change, I think about listening and empathy and having the ability to coach. Those are all exceptional skills that go along with change managers. And when people have those abilities naturally, you can see them, you spot them, and you say, hey, do you know about change management? Do you think it's something you'd be interested in? And when you have that natural ability, a lot of those other skill sets can be trained. But to have the natural empathy and the ability to listen first and ask questions and be inquisitive enough to help understand why people might not understand a change or what have you is important. The communication component is, I think when people think about change, they think about communications and training. Those are the first two things that come to mind. They are extremely critical, but they are not all that change entails. We have to think about the resistance component. We have to think about the sponsorship and the leadership role in change. And we have to think about, again, that ability to coach, which is another word that if you dig into gets very deep, because coaching is not telling. Coaching is listening and asking questions and being inquisitive and understanding, and then showing empathy. Mm-hmm. When someone's resisting change, get to the heart of why they're resisting. Usually it's because they don't have enough information or they haven't been trained, so they don't feel comfortable with the change. So we need to get them more training or education or help them understand the why behind it, you know, the connection. So communication is super important, but listening, empathy, coaching, and I'll just be honest with you, I will say leadership skills in a change manager are extremely important as well, because you're managing change with peers. You're managing it with people who look up to you as a leader, and you're also managing up the chain as well. And learning how to manage and coach up is probably one of the most difficult things to do as a change manager.
All right, so let's move into another topic. So let's discuss managing change projects, and sometimes there can be too much change. So let's talk a little bit about how to prevent change fatigue.
Oh, yes. Change saturation or change fatigue is I'll say in the last few years, it's become a more common topic of conversation in businesses. You know, obviously the pandemic started to bring on some of that, because we said we have to change now. We have to change fast because we have to be able to continue to operate in this new world. Yeah. That's one example. The other example is that I feel like everyone's really focused on transformation, and transformation means a lot of change. And transformation can be a scary word to a employee, because it's like, does that mean my job is changing completely? Am I going to lose my job? Do I have to move? Do I have to do? It can be a multitude, but they think of it as a very big change. So the word transformation can be scary. The thing with change fatigue is that I always use this analogy, is your eyes are bigger than your stomach, right? Yeah. I can eat all that. I can do all that. I can run that distance. You can't always do that. You have to kind of ease your way into things. And it's very difficult for organizations to admit that they have too many objectives on their plate, or that people are just not complaining, that they really are maybe taking on too much and there's too many priorities. So one side of the coin is, are you putting too much out there and your employees don't have the capacity to move as quickly as you would like? The other side of the coin is it what I call almost faux fatigue? Do the employees use it as an excuse because they don't want to do something different? So you have to be able to truly look at, do you have the capacity to do what you've put in front of your employees and be able to measure, you know, the readiness of the organization and see if it's truly fatigue or is it the faux fatigue that I like to say? And you have to be able to work together between employee and leaders and make sure that you're looking at it from the right. Just because an employee says there's too much to do doesn't mean there's too much to do. But they also need to listen and say, okay, tell me more about that. Yeah. That's where you need to inquire and say, help me understand why this feels overwhelming, or why does it feel like we have too much to do, because we believe we can do this, right? Mm-hmm. So all fatigue is and all saturation is we have this many things on our plate and our employees don't have the capacity to actually go through all of that. So understanding what your employees' capabilities and readiness level are is important, but also making sure that they're all equipped with the skill sets and the capabilities and the tools and the resources they need to do what you ask them to do as well. Then you can look at that and say, is it real fatigue or is it faux? But then also as a business, you can say, what are we going to do about it?
I was about to say, how do you then prioritize? So you say, I only have 3 spots on my plate, but I've got 10 things to do. How do you help organizations figure out what should be on their plate?
That's right. So the thing with that is, you know, the organization's business leaders have to determine the priorities. The change manager's job is to make them aware that there could be too many things going on, or maybe this isn't the right direction, or the employees can't take this change on right now for these reasons, or we're experiencing more resistance than we thought, so it's going to take longer. All of that information has to get back to the business leaders, because ultimately we look to them to make those decisions around priorities. And we want to give them as much information as possible to make those decisions. So we have to be honest with them. We have to give them the quantifiable and qualitative data to be able to show them what employees are actually feeling, what's real, what's not real, so they can make a good business decision. And a good business leader will look at it, analyze the information, and then make a decision and relay that information back to the organization. And sometimes it's, we're going to take one priority off the list, or we're going to make a consumption choice and we're going to do these 3, but we're going to take one from the bottom and we're going to move it back up to the top because it's now become more important. So can you imagine the consumption choices that happened during the pandemic? All of a sudden, virtual meetings and meeting technology became a number one priority. That was on no one's radar that year. And I hate to use that as always an example, but
it's true.
It's a great example, right? And anytime something like that happens, your priorities are going to shift. Mm-hmm. You know, a company could find out that they're being acquired.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you have all these business leaders that didn't know any of this was on their plate. What becomes their first priority? That merger, that acquisition, that spinoff, whatever that looks like. And everyone rallies around that. We readjust our priorities. And that's where the change manager really comes into play, because you know, they're going to be working with the people and relaying back to everyone. What are people feeling? Where might the resistance be? What are the capabilities we need to continue to build? Mm-hmm. And obviously, what do we need to communicate and to whom and when?
And, I have 2 thoughts there. One, having those processes that are the foundation of the organization that are well established will help when the random change happens. But then 2, you almost have a change within the change when you're reprioritizing. So it's
absolutely
managing the change of the change. So knowing or having a really well thought out change management plan at the organization can really help with that too.
Yep. And a framework, like how do you approach change within your organization? Mm-hmm. Then you can adjust on a dime when you need to. It's not fun, but
it, who likes change?
Right. You know, it's like, change sometimes is fun and sometimes it's not, but if you have a common way of talking about it and approaching it, it certainly makes it a lot more consumable for your employees and for the leaders too.
Right.
If they have a way of doing that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. No, that makes sense. Thank you everyone for listening to the podcast. That was part 1 of our conversation with Linda on how to drive effective change. Be sure to look out for parts 2 through 4 of the conversation coming soon. Once again, I'm Madison Lundquist. To learn more about our research, please visit www.apqc.org. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.